Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, people, it is game day or game night, depending on what you want to call it. But the Bills are playing football tonight at 8:15 against the division rival New England Patriots as they begin a critical three-game stretch in the division that will largely shape their chances on whether or not they emerge as division champions for a third straight season. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker here with you on Thursday on One Bills Live. Steve, bright and sunny here today in the New England area. No precip to speak of tonight. No wind to speak of, which a couple of days ago was potentially a factor in the forecast here for this Thursday night game, but looking like 5 to 8 miles per hour. So it doesn't look like weather is going to present itself as a factor in this game tonight. And that's good because it was raining cats and dogs here yesterday when we arrived.
Same here. It was raining here yesterday. But if it's going to be nice weather tonight for this Bills-Patriots game in Foxborough, just two words, man. Let's go! Just go, man. Just play. Better the conditions, the more it favors the better team. The Bills are the better team. They got the better quarterback. They're probably, at least offensively, healthier than the Patriots are offensively. The Patriots got some problems with their offensive line they're struggling with.
Yeah.
Their defense is getting healthier. There's two important players that are not going to play tonight for the Bills. No question about it. And they're two players, important players, that are at money positions, left tackle and pass rusher. I mean, if you're talking about the hierarchy of what positions are the biggest, most important positions on a football team, it's quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher, corner. The Bills are getting a corner back tonight. Probably Trey White is probably going to get a few more snaps tonight. He's going to be a bigger part of the mix. They're healthy back there. Von Miller's out. Deion Dawkins is out, but Josh Allen's coming in fully healthy. So the Patriots, on the other hand, are missing a couple of tackles already. And there's a question mark about one of the backups, right, Brownie? The kid with the calf injury now.
Yeah, it's interesting because we just learned today that they're adding Trent Brown, their starting left tackle, to the injury report due to an illness. He probably woke up and was sick, and they had to add him to the injury report. He's listed as questionable for tonight's game.
If that guy doesn't have 110 temperature, he's playing.
I would assume so, but how effective is he going to be if he feels like garbage? You know what I mean? You got to go 60, 65 snaps against a rotational defensive end group that is healthier for the Bills this week, even without Miller, because it was a 2-for-1 deal where it looks like they're going to get A.J. Epenesa and Greg Rousseau back in the rotation with Boogie Basham and Shaq Lawson.
Right.
So it's a 2-for-1. You get two back, even though you lost Miller due to his knee injury from last week. So you're going to be rolling those guys through, and Trent Brown's got to play, 60, 65 snaps tonight. Is he going to be at his best all the way through? I kind of tend to doubt it if, he's got some kind of a flu bug or something and he's hurling on the sidelines. And then the right tackle, we already know, is out. Isaiah Wynn, he's not going to play tonight. Yodney Cayuste is usually his backup, but he's questionable coming into the game with a calf injury that's had him limited in practice all week. So if he plays, is he at his best? So Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they put the line together. The word is that David Andrews is going to play, their starting center. And as we heard from Ben Volin, who was on the show earlier this week, the offensive line tends to function a whole lot better when Andrews, the veteran center, is in the lineup, as opposed to Kirk Ferentz, who's a much younger and less experienced player. Well, and he's had to spell him a couple of times this year already, and that line has looked god-awful when David Andrews isn't in there.
Well, it's the same with the Bills, and then getting now going to get Mitch Morse back in the lineup. So
right.
Getting healthier. They always look better when the center's there, especially an experienced center like Morse. So, yeah, both we can speak to that on both sides of the equation for Buffalo and for the New England Patriots. It always helps as well when you can get a guy at center. And what happens is the center, what they do is, for those of you who don't know, the center makes some calls that designates people on the defensive line that either that line it out for his other line mates, for the guards and for the tackles, so they know what the center sees, and they all see it the same way. Whether it's right or not, at least they all see it the same way. So if they make a mistake, they all make a mistake together. And they'll only leave one guy running free instead of two guys running free. You'll see, too, that it's the way it should work is if there's like six guys at the line of scrimmage, it doesn't mean six guys are rushing. And if they only rush four, you've got those four picked up no matter what. And that's the key to it. If only four, even if they, they do this thing like the Patriots do, and or that the center sets what they're all looking at. And sometimes it's hard to do. But when you've got a guy like Mitch Morse, a lot of times because of his experience and his film study and his depth of knowledge about what this team has done in the past and what they will do and what he sees on film, he gets it right more often than he gets it wrong. And that's a huge plus. So both these teams are going to be really happy to get their starting centers back.
Right. And again, referencing our interview with Ben Volin from the Boston Globe earlier this week, when he kind of told us Ramondre Stevenson is the engine that powers this offense. Steve, I watched two games of the Patriots last night, including that offensive debacle against the Jets that finished with a punt return touchdown by the Patriots in the waning seconds to win 10-3. My God, that game set offensive football back about 30 years. It was dreadful to plow through. My God, I had to watch the condensed version. I couldn't even watch it play by play with two the sideline view followed by the end zone view. I didn't want to watch it that badly. But you watch that game, Steve, and against a quality defense, which we know the Jets have, I thought it would be worth watching because an approach could be similar tonight against a quality Bills defense. And Ben Volin is dead on the mark. I mean, without Ramondre Stevenson, the offense is even worse than it already was. That guy makes more yards on his own than I've seen. And then I looked it up, Steve. He's leading the league. He averages 3.5 yards after contact as a rusher. That leads the NFL because his blocking has been so god-awful, he's got to do it himself, quite literally.
Well, the Bills have been through this before, just a couple of weeks ago, with Hunt from the Cleveland Browns, where they've got to run it, and they're really good at it, and you got to kind of bear up and get ready for it. So, it's not going to be much different tonight, although this, in the Jet game, let's face it, Brownie, Patriots were under no pressure to do anything different than what they were doing because the Jets couldn't move the football either because of Zach Wilson's struggles.
Right.
So, and it's going to be, and it, go back to last year in the wind game when the Bills offense couldn't throw it because of the wind and the defense couldn't get them off the field offensively in the run game. They threw it three times. So the Patriots are only going to do what you force them to do. So if you can't get them out of the run game, Bills fans know this better than any fan base when it comes to the Patriots, they're not going to stop doing that. So,
well,
they're
yeah.
only going to have
the only
them,
way to
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
The only way you get them to do anything other than what they want to do is to stop it and get a lead and force them into a place where they got to do something different than they want to do.
That's what I was going to say. As long as you're scoring points, that will eventually pull them out of whatever their game plan is, because their general game plan is hold the opponent to under 20 points, and play conservative offensive football and hope you can find some hidden yards in special teams or via takeaways and try to win the football game that way. And that's why the New England Patriots this season, with their 6-5 record, are 6-0 when they hold their opponent under 20 points, and they're 0-5 when their opponent scores more than 20 points. You score more than 20 points tonight, unless you make stupid mistakes and turn the football over, you should win the football game going away.
That's right. And, you know, when you say turn the football over, one of the things about it, and this is it's the ancient conversation you always have when you have an offense that scores a lot of points and throws the football all over the yard, is turnovers. Yeah, you put the ball at risk. And this just, you know, the last three games, the Chiefs have turned it over more than the Bills have. And the Bills have, and we've been harping on how much the Bills have turned it over and how big a factor that's been in their struggles. The Chiefs have turned it over even more than the Bills have in the last three games. That's just what you live with when you're doing it the way the Bills are doing it and the way the Chiefs are doing it, the way these teams that are scoring a lot of points are doing it. If you don't do that, if you don't turn it over, the other team is all of a sudden, a team like the Patriots, they're in desperation mode for three quarters of the game. If you bust out, they struggle to score early in games. And if they're down by any significant amount, they don't have the firepower or the people or the quarterback for sure to come back and sling it out with you. So the key to this, if you want to get into this thing and put the Patriots on notice, you know, you score early and then get a double-digit score and say, okay, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now to get back in it?
Yeah, and the Patriots have proven they can't get back in it because in the fourth quarter, they have been unable to stage a game-tying or a game-winning drive all season long. And you look at Mac Jones' statistics. Steve, we remember this guy was like a darling of the league last year as a rookie quarterback. Oh my God, he's the best guy in the class. Look at what he's doing. And he was having a good season last year. Now, his talent is limited in scope, but Josh McDaniels was very effective in harnessing and catering the offense to his strengths. And, you know, he had a good defense to play with, which had got off to a flying start. And, you know, they had a great record at the start of the season and they faded in December. And, you know, you look at them now, there is very little margin of error for them at 6-5, and their schedule is going to get considerably tougher with their opponents coming up, including Buffalo tonight. And I don't know about you, but I was stunned when I saw Mac Jones 6 passing touchdowns all season. I know he's missed 2 games, but 6 passing touchdowns in 9 games, and he's got 7 interceptions. And listen to this, all 7 of his interceptions, Steve, this season have come in the fourth quarter. That's why they are incapable when they're behind to come from behind and win a football game late. They can't do it.
Yeah, and you can tell he throws his interceptions when they've got to score to win, get back in games. Plus, their red zone offense, we've been talking about it all week, stinks. They can't score touchdowns.
31st.
Yeah, so they're... You know, all this speaks to their ability of their defense to kind of hang in there. The Patriots desperately want this game to stay close throughout.
Well, they need it. Yeah.
They've got to have it stay close throughout. If you get up 10 points on them, then it's just a ticking time bomb because sooner or later they're going to have to get to a point where they got to score a bunch. Now, if you get up 10 points on the Patriots in the first half, they're not going to change what they're doing. Because there's still plenty of time to get a touchdown, and then it's close again. But if you go up 3 scores, the clock gets shorter, and the desperation window gets longer. But that's the key to it. Now, it's not going to be easy. Their defense is legit. I mean, they're very well-schooled. They're disciplined. We've all seen it a million times. This team doesn't make mistakes. But if the Bills go in there like they have in the last couple of matchups with the Patriots, and the Patriots can't get them off the field, and the Bills don't punt, I mean... It's going to be a laugher quick.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't see it going that way.
I don't
think the Patriots will do everything in their power to keep it close. So that means probably top-down defense, force the Bills to have enough consistency in the execution of their offense to go 12, 13, 14 play drives before they put points on the board, force them to nickel and dime it all the way down the field, nothing cheap, nothing deep. that's going to be their approach. And then bow up in the red zone and hope you can force a field goal. That's really going to be New England's approach defensively tonight. They're not going to give them anything in terms of big plays if they can help it.
Well, and yeah, that's right.
That's how they will try to stay in the game. And, you know, if you get out of the first or second quarter and you're only down 10-0, that's a win for the Patriots, as they would see it, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if you get up by more than that in halftime or whatever, if the game wears on, they're going to have to, you know, put their foot on the gas, because then it becomes a possession game. And they've got to count how many times they're going to possess the ball again. And yeah, so then things change. But you're right, Brownie. This is a game where I think if the Bills can be efficient, stay on the field offensively, and really put the screws to their offense and force their offense to keep up, it's huge. But it's been difficult. It's going to be difficult. I think it's going to be interesting to see what the Patriots think about the Bills' offense, whether they're going to try and pressure Josh and how many guys it's going to take them to do that, or whether they're going to sit back and let Josh throw into coverage with a three-man rush with a spy who's going to come up and just try and hem him in, keep him in the pocket, and throw it. Last year, and we've seen highlights of this all week when we've been talking about this, where in last year's game in Foxborough when the Bills didn't punt and Isaiah McKenzie had that huge game, highlight after highlight after highlight is Josh standing back there as long as he wants to, looking around for somebody to throw it to. That, to me, you're asking for it, because the longer the play goes with Josh not being pressured, I mean, I think they really test his poise and his patience when that, because it's hard to stand back there with the ball in your hand knowing guys are chasing you and you just don't have anything to worry about it, you know, and just dare him to come back and sack you. And last year, Josh just stood back there with nobody around him and picked him apart. I don't think the Patriots thought he could do that to them. And of course, you know, he proved he could. Do they try that again? Thinking Josh is a new offensive coordinator. It hasn't been going that good. The receivers outside of Diggs aren't good enough to get open like they were a year ago. We're a little better maybe in the back end than we were a year ago. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they think about that, don't you think? I mean, I'm really interested to see how they treat Josh.
Here's the thing. You know, you referenced the McKenzie game, you know, 11 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. And he's going against the exact same guy tonight. Yeah. Miles Bryant was the nickel corner last year due to injury. And Isaiah McKenzie was the slot receiver due to Cole Beasley coming down with COVID. Fast forward to this year, you have the exact same matchup. Bryant is the starting nickel corner this year, and McKenzie's the starting slot receiver. You going to man him up on that guy after what he did to him last year? I don't know. I don't know if you can afford to do that. Yeah. You want to play safe defense and say, hey, beat us all the way down the field. Okay. Isaiah will hit you for 6 or 8 yards all the way down the field. Like, if you want to play that game, because he can get separation on Miles Bryant. He proved it last year. There's no reason to think he can't do it again this year. Not to mention the fact that you got less experienced guys on the outside. You know, Jonathan Jones has been in the league for 7 years, but he's playing outside for the first time this season. By all accounts, he's having a nice season. But him on Stephon Diggs, I'll take that 7 days out of seven.
Now they play. Do they not play a lot of man? They play
man. Yes, as Greg Cosell told us last week, not as much as they did last year. And I think it's because they know they don't have the guys that can man up and go all game like that. Yeah, you have a nice pass rusher in Matt Judon, and you got a good situational rusher on the other side in Uche, but, I mean, you got problems in terms of the matchups. I expect them to play a fair amount of zone tonight and, you know, hope they can make tackles short of the sticks most of the evening. And, you know, they still play the three safety look with Adrian Phillips, Kyle Duggar, who kind of serves almost as a hybrid linebacker safety type, you know, and McCourty in center field. But the reason they play the three safety look, Steve, is they don't have the athletes at linebacker to put them on the field in a base defense.
Right. And that's something
they use
else.
Duggar as a third linebacker because they don't have a linebacker that can cover anybody. And I got to tell you, Steve, tell me what you think about this. With these linebackers, the two that are on the field, usually Jawan Bentley, is the main guy that's on the field at all times. He's kind of their Tremaine Edmonds, and he's nowhere near the athlete. And then they have Jelani Tavai, who's the new addition this year. He's a little more athletic, but he's not a Matt Milano. What do you think about getting guys like Hines and Cook out of the backfield and matched up on these linebackers tonight? I like that matchup a lot.
I do too, and I get where you're coming from. You're exactly right. You're exactly down the road I was headed towards, not just, you know, getting those guys out of the backfield and getting them on those guys one-on-one, but also running right at them. A lot of times, particularly with a guy like Matt Judon, he's a really good player. Sometimes when you get a good passer, a team used to try this early in his career and even later in his career, they'd try this once in a while on Bruce when I was playing, is they get a big run game and they run right at the guy. They run right at the kingpin, like a Matt Judon or Bruce Smith or somebody, one of these defensive – they don't usually do it to a defensive tackle because those guys do that. But on you get a guy like that, like with Dallas's Micah Parsons, they take the ball, hand it to the running back with a guy with the point of attack going right at the pass rusher of your opponent. And if you get, you know, Hines on the field or even Devin Singletary on the field or Cook on the field and you show that a couple of times and you power running game, you kind of want to bear up against this. And I know it kind of plays into their, you know, into what would work for them defensively, the Patriots, is to run at them, to take the ball out of Josh's hands. But, man, oh, man, if you can make some hay in a running game against this defense with Josh and those guys in the secondary and then release, like if you're handing it off to James Cook and then all of a sudden you turn him loose on a pass route against those guys, that's a real problem for them matchup-wise. I'm right with you, Brownie. I think the running backs and tight ends in this game could be enormous for the Bills' offense.
With as vulnerable – as the belly of their defense looked at the second level last week against Minnesota, I mean, they were carving them up between the numbers in the middle of the field. I got to believe Coach Dorsey sees that and says, man, I got a guy that runs 4.38 and another guy that runs 4.42. If I can scheme a way to get them on a linebacker, we're going to win all night long.
Yeah, I agree with that. It'll be interesting too because the Patriots will have a plan for it. It'll be how do they match up personnel wise? They may go light and go nickel and stuff if they put two running backs on. If they put Singletary and Cook on, or Singletary and Hines, or Hines and Cook, whatever the combination you want to pick, it'll be interesting to see how they match up to that. It'll also be interesting to see how they match up against Dawson Knox and Quentin Morris on the field at the same time.
Right.
You know,
and that's the other thing too, because you say, all right, if you're going to split Hines or Cook out, whether you line them up out there at the snap at the line of scrimmage, or
how are they
going to pull them out of the backfield?
How are they going to treat him?
Yeah. Are you going to put Duggar on him? Okay, you want to put Duggar on him. That means you got to put a linebacker on the tight end. I know they got the three safety look. Maybe you bring another safety up, but then that means you're single safety high, and you know we'll take our shots. So to me, it's a personnel problem for them because of the weapons that the Bills can deploy. You may have the running back covered with Duggar, and you may have the tight end covered with Phillips, but that means McCourty's all by himself, single safety high, with Diggs and Davis running down there. So to me, I think whatever New England comes up with in terms of the matchups, I still like the Bills' answers.
Yeah, it's going to come down to being able to protect Josh. It'll be... you know, he's got to have time to pick it apart and throw to it. That's going to be huge. Matt Judon's going to be a problem. Kessenberry's going to have his work cut out for him. You're going to have somebody, whether it's Cook, Singletary, Knox, Quentin Morris, Reggie Gilliam, name it. Somebody's going to have to be helping Kessenberry on Judon or helping Spencer Brown on Judon, one or the other. So that's going to be something that's got to be, you know, you got to take that into account because the defense will know that either you're going to chip on Judon and take a guy out of the pass pattern for a minute, or Judon's going to make it, you know, is going to shorten the clock that Josh has to throw. We'll see.
I I like the matchups. That's all I'm going to say. We got a full show for you today. We'll have Field Yates from ESPN coming up in just about 10 minutes' time. We'll get to him for your ultimate fantasy lineup presented by FanDuel, as we do every week for you, as we're getting close to playoffs for fantasy footballers. And we also have a day early, the OBL fan mailbag open, because the game is tonight. So any questions you have on the Bills or the league at large, fire them off to us at One Bills Live on Twitter, or you can give us a call at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Steve, the other thing that I wanted to kind of discuss with respect to the game is the fact that this is going to be, for the Bills, the fourth game in 19 days. Four games in 19 days. Now, I will say this. The players, they've been kind of bouncing around this hotel. They have energy. I'm not looking at them saying, oh, man, these guys look dog tired. They have a spring in their step, and I have to believe it's because after playing two games in 5 days, it probably seems like an eternity to get all the way back to this Thursday for another one.
Yeah, I think the schedule now, seeing as how they came off two straight wins on a Sunday to Thursday, to get them back in the saddle and the win column, it's got to feel good to them. But this is also, I think, a really good spot for them to take on these next three division opponents, you know, the Patriots, Jets, Dolphins in a row, with this game now after a full week's rest, and then get the mini bye, and then a home game, yeah. Two home games. Huge.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other part of it, right? I mean, it's not only four games in 19 days. It's three in a row on the road. Yeah. That's a ridiculous stretch, which is why I've kind of been forgiving of some of the things that haven't gone particularly well in their games the last couple of weeks. Still in all, they've got two wins out of the three. You win three out of the last four games and you played them in a span of 19 days and three of them were on the road. I'm sorry. I'm tipping my hat to every dang right. guy on the roster
right.
and the coaching staff for that matter.
Right. Now they got the Minnesota game at home, but then they played Cleveland. It was designated as a home game. It wasn't a home game in Detroit and in New England. And then you get a couple of home games which is going to be great, but you're right. I think the fact that they got through that the way they did, and it sets them up for these next couple of weeks. I mean, they got to play well, but having a full week before this Thursday night game for the Patriots is awesome. I mean, it couldn't have worked out better, yeah. given the fact that they won those two games.
And this will just prove to you how there is no rhyme or reason to player injuries in this game. The Bills are more beat up in the part of the season where there is more recovery time from one game to the next. And in this stretch in which they are going to play four games in 19 days, the injury list is actually shorter right now, knock on wood, coming out of this stretch where you've played more games in a shorter period of time. To me, that defies logic, but nobody's complaining as this roster is significantly healthier. Let's quickly go to the phones here before we go to break. Want to get Jason in Toronto on, who's been waiting patiently. Jason, what do you got for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much for having me on. I'm a big-time fan. I started being a Bills fan back when Flutie was the quarterback. And, you know, the way we've been let down year over year over year until we became really good, obviously, over the last 4 or 5 years till Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean came over. But the first letdown was when they benched Flutie. Sorry, I'm still upset about that. But anyways, I just wanted to ask you guys about, like, you know, I'm so excited about our team. We look, with all the challenges, the injury issues we've had over the last handful of weeks and the schedule issues that you guys have just mentioned and then the snowstorm and everything kind of like, you know, throwing things, you know, up in the air with
right.
the scheduling, and it throws people off. I'm just wondering, like, you know, do you think our team, the way we were heading into the season, like, we're still intact and we're still going to be a dominant force? Or do you think we're starting to show some serious cracks in terms of, you know, like with Mitch Morris, for example, being out and Josh Allen's elbow? Like, do you think we have cause for concern, or do you think things are kind of heading in the right direction and we're going to be healthy and kind of back to being dominant, because I feel like we're squeaking wins out against average teams when we should be pumping them.
Yeah, there's a lot in that question, Jason, but I'll say this. No, I think they're the exact team you thought they were going to be. I think the injuries that have riddled through the roster, the fact that we've seen them sprinkled through almost every position group. Linebackers have been hurt. Tremaine Edmonds has been in and out. The defensive line tackles and ends have been riddled with injuries at different times. You've had the corners, of course, going in and out. Now you've got Christian Benford, who's on IR for 4 weeks, and now, you know, Dane Jackson, Kyir Elam, now Trey White's getting back in the lineup. Micah Hyde, the safeties, they've been in and out of the lineup. We've seen that as well with the injuries that have gone back and forth. Him and Poyer. Poyer now is back in, getting better. Offensive line, same thing. Guys have been sprinkled in and out of the lineup. Wide receivers, you know, Kumro's been injured. You've had
defensive ends.
The defensive ends as well. Yes, the fact that the injuries have hit almost every single position group on the club, and they've still managed an 8-3 record, and really, you know, squandered a 9-2 record with the Minnesota game 3 weeks ago. This is a team that is exactly what you thought they were going to be. Now, certainly, there are certain aspects of it that we'll never know the real effect of how all these injuries played into the production of certain position groups, whether Gabe Davis would have had a better year had the offensive line been a little better or been a little healthier, or the running backs, the tight end, you know, all this stuff is a ripple effect. But I think this is the team we thought it was going to be. It's exactly the team we thought it was going to be. I don't think it's the same. You know, I think Ken Dorsey's effect is going to have to be looked at in a big picture kind of mode after the season. What he do differently than Daboll did? What will he learn from it? How will he change going forward? How will he change week to week? All these are questions to be answered. But I think this is the exact team we thought it was going to be when this season started. They are the team to beat. And the only team that really has a great shot of beating them every week is themselves.
Right. And then the only thing I'll add to that is, you know, he asked about Josh Allen's elbow and what's the status. I think all we have to go off of is his practice participation. And this week, for the first time since he injured the elbow in week 9, he practiced on a full-time basis, which means he took every single rep. That was not the case in the previous 3 weeks. So if we go off of that, I think it's logical to at least assume, not definitively know, but assume that his elbow is as healthy as it's been since the injury, and maybe even fully healthy, because they did say it would heal in time, and they've done their best to, you know, not overtax the elbow. So I think how he performs in the next couple of games will maybe serve us better indication as to the status of the elbow, but I think it's as healthy as it's been since the injury. All right, we got to take a break, because when we come back, we've got our ESPN fantasy football expert, Field Yates, joining us to give us his Week 13 Ultimate Fantasy lineup next here on One Bills Live.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.